This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found on Gadget Geek show number 306, recorded on April 20th, 2017. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find our news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska, which has some great weather. Although, tornado warnings last night, Mike, I think spring is here for good. Lots of rain. Your grass has got to be mowable about every 3 days, right?
It's driving me nuts. I'm out there every 2 days, and then we got a huge hailstorm out here. So Jim and I live on opposite ends of Omaha, and apparently the west side where I'm at, we got hammered with hail the other morning. Oh, so
really?
Lots of it, and up to marble size. And we're gonna check. I think our roof might have had a little bit, so yeah, we're gonna check it out. But yeah, crazy spring weather, tornadoes and hail and everything.
It's here for sure. And of course, we post a show with world class show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can join us on our mobile app. And we do have, it looks like we've got Spreaker up and running again. I tested that a little bit before, and I think Mark told us it was working. So we're back to being on Spreaker live as well. And if you want to enjoy that through the mobile app, we want to thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that app. If you haven't downloaded it yet and you haven't joined us live, you should do both. Download it and join us live some Thursday night. You can get the app out at homegadgetgeeks.com. Big buttons to just get those, better than the iPhone app, better than the Android app. You can just have it right there on your phone, homegadgetgeeks.com. We now also have a Patreon link if you want to support the show. Financially, we have $1 and $5 plans that are out there if you like to do that. I always appreciate you guys, and I don't know, there's 8 or 9 or 10 of you that currently support the show on a monthly basis, and we appreciate it. The link is right there at theaverageguy.tv, or you can do theaverageguy.tv/support. All right, we have a great show ahead for you tonight. Buckle in a little bit. We got some good stuff ahead. Before we get to our guest, Mike, you bought a new vehicle today.
Yeah.
From a tech standpoint, did you get as much nerdy tech in your vehicle as you could get? Tell us what you got, and then there's got to be some good tech in it for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, this is my first new car that Hannah and I have ever purchased. So it's exciting. First new purchase. And the newest car that we've been driving is a 2008. So this was a big step up in the technology department. We have the My Chevy app. So remote start the car from the app, lock it, unlock it, everything from the app, from wherever you're at, which is kind of cool because we are notorious. We don't like to admit it, but we're notorious for locking our keys in the car. We've done it twice. And so now if one of us at least has our phone, we'll be good. Or if we can borrow someone's phone, log into the app and unlock, our car will be set. So yeah, not too much crazy tech, but the whole app thing is new to me and pretty exciting.
That's cool. Congratulations. It's always fun to get a new vehicle.
It's a lot of fun.
And, some of the tech, we bought a 2016. Yours was a 2016. We bought a 2016 Subaru Outback that's got EyeSight, you know, so it's got two little cameras up front.
Yeah.
And that's beeping at me all the time when I get out of my lane or when the person in front of me takes off and I don't, you know, it'll beep at you, which I'm usually looking at my phone. You know, you stop at a stoplight and you're looking at your phone.
Kind of get used to it. You swerving? It'll beep at me. Don't worry about it. You know, let me know.
What did you get again, Mike? A 2016
Chevy Traverse.
All right. There you go. So yeah. If you're a pro American, you got the right kind of car. That's for another show.
It's for another show. Yeah, we could go into that. That's for sure.
No, sounds good. Congratulations. All right, I guess tonight, actually, Emily had who out there in chat, Emily Prokop, is out there and recommended Laura to me, Laura McKellen. She's behind the Productive Woman podcast at theproductivewoman.com. Laura, welcome to Home Gadget Geeks.
Well, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Good. We've been looking forward to having you. And Emily had said a couple months back, she's like, oh, you've got to have Laura on. And so she made the connection between the two of us. And we kind of went back and forth on some things to talk about. And so we've got some good stuff ahead. Let me first, though, let's get to know you a little bit. And, you know, there's always, and I said this wouldn't be podcasting about podcasting tonight, so we won't talk too much about this for our regular listeners. But there is you've been podcasting for a while now, and there's this how you introduce your guest conversation that goes on. And I always prefer, like, nobody knows your guest like your guest does, right? Everybody is good at introducing themselves. So I don't try to read bios. So let's catch up with you a little bit, if you could. Give us a little bit where you're located, kind of what you do, and then I want to talk a little bit about why you started your podcast.
Sure. I'm currently in North Texas, but I was born and raised in Western Washington State, sort of all over the place. And as we were talking pre-show, I spent 10 years in your neck of the woods. We lived in Omaha and the Benson area for quite a while.
Yeah,
and up into Tecama for a few years. Yeah. But yeah, so great memories of that part of the world. But now in North Texas, I'm a lawyer by day, a podcaster when I can be, and been married since dirt to my husband, Mike. We were 18 when we got married.
I think your bio said 37 years or something like that.
It's 38 now. I need to update that. We just celebrated 38 years last month, and we have 5 grown kids and 7 grandkids, which you can do and still be relatively young if you get married when you're 18. So.
Yeah. I was young too. So we're celebrating 28. Or we just celebrated 28 this year, and we have 5 too. And so Mike and I in pre-show were talking about this sweet 1986 Ford Econoline conversion van that I had bought back in 96 to put the kids in. We just were dirt poor. And so, you know, when you have all these kids, yours are gone. Mine are mostly gone, but you kind of learn how to get through those years, right? We raised kids without a lot of tech. Do you think today, so Uyghur just picks up a Chevy Traverse and he can start the thing from an app on his phone and that's got all this tracking. Do you think raising kids without all this technology, do you think that the kids missed anything? Laura, do you think it's...
I don't think so at all. And maybe I have a different perspective on things because I actually homeschooled my kids when we were living in Omaha. And we sort of, so of course they're all completely warped and antisocial, not at all. But, you know, they learn to entertain themselves without having all the stuff that kids have now. And we were really mean parents. I prided myself on being the meanest mother in at least 5 states. And even when all this tech came up, we didn't let our kids get like iPhones until they got their driver's license. And then I got him a phone and I said, and when I call you, you better answer me because I'm paying for that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, is that when you think about Emmett and whatever comes post Emmett, are you going to give it? I mean, have you guys talked about that? I know it's a ways to go, but when are you going to put a phone in your child's hand?
See, a phone is interesting. We've had conversations about like gaming systems, computers, stuff like that. Maybe non-necessary items. Phones are kind of like, it's kind of whenever they are going places without you, it'd be nice to let them. It's more of a convenience for us than a thing for him. So that's what makes it hard on the phone. Like, you don't want him to have a phone that's connected to the world. That kind of scares me. I've been a big advocate for having conversations with your kids about online bullying because I'm a pretty, you know, I'm someone who can take it and I'm 26 years old and there are still comments on my YouTube, which is a full tech channel, nothing crazy. It's a tech channel on YouTube where you get comments. So I don't know. It scares me to have him have a phone, but it's more of a convenience thing. So we've talked about it, but it's kind of I guess we'll see where technology's at when he gets to that age. You know, we still got a while. He's 6 months. So I think, you know, in 8, 9, 10 years, I think we'll start to see. But Hannah is a very big, and we were both very big proponents of go outside. Like, go outside, go play basketball. The first thing we're investing in is a basketball hoop for the house, you know, stuff like that. We're both very much into that more than any sort of technology. So I think we'll be more on the conservative side.
Laura, are you in any spot where you have grandkids yet? And are those conversations coming up?
Well, yeah, we have our oldest daughter, Rachel, and her husband have 4 little girls. The oldest is in, I think she's 4th grade. And then our oldest son and his wife have 3 little boys. And so, yeah, it comes up and they've all got iPads. I don't think they have phones. They've just started to where the older girls will text me from their iPads. And that's it's kind of fun because they don't live right here near us. We don't see them every day. But yeah, we've had those conversations.
Yeah, I have a nephew, Jack, and who's down in Oklahoma, down near neck of the woods. And he's got an iPod Touch, when they still one of the last versions of it. And so it's phone size, but he'll text me, you know, we're able to text back and forth, and it's fantastic to get a text from him. That's one of the things, you know, I don't get to see him all the time, and he's just, he's one of my favorite kids on the planet. And so to be able to get a text, that part is pretty cool. But Laura, do you worry at all about screen time that, you know, with kids? And I mean, this is, parents think a lot about this when it comes to technology. Are your, your grandkids, are their parents worried about the amount of screen time that they get, and are they doing anything to kind of limit it?
You know, I don't know that they are worried. I think they pay attention to what they're connected to, and they kind of want to see what they're, you know, who if they're communicating with anybody sort of outside the family. They'll have them put the iPads down and go play outside. When they come here to visit us, we live out in the country, and so they'll go outside and play and harass the horses or, you know, do stuff like that. But it's something probably I worry about more than they do.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, we don't have grandkids yet. And I'm not all the way there. I've got old enough kids for it. My kids have been a little slow to the draw. And so we don't have those grandkids yet. But as a parent, I think as a grandparent, I'm going to approach it a little bit different than I would as a parent. And I might be even a little bit more lenient. When they were my kids, we had timers on the PCs. We limited them. We had one PC for all five of them, and they could only get 1 hour a day, and they had earned that in a lot of cases. And so the technology played in our favor. Now, today, I don't even think about that anymore. If they're on their computer all day, I don't care. You know, you're kind of like, whatever.
And, well, it's more of a requirement now, too, right? Like, being on the internet is actually necessary for a lot of things now. Whereas back in the day when I was, because we had the same thing, Jim, my parents parented very much the same way, where there was one computer, there was no Wi-Fi, that was not allowed because they wanted to know, you know, you're in the office, you're connected. But it wasn't, everything I was doing on that computer was just extra stuff, like fun stuff, IMing people, my friends and things. So it wasn't necessary. So you could limit it. The hard part now is that they need these devices for certain things when they get to a certain age. And then where do you even start on it?
Yeah. It's different. You're right. I mean, we definitely come at this from it's almost a necessity in some regard. Yeah. Laura, you podcast about productivity, right? And it's personal productivity. I went back and looked through a bunch of your episodes, and it's kind of a lot of how to be fit, or how to get time in your life for this, or, you know, those kinds of things. Do you find that the technology is hindering some of that, or is it helping more because we can take some of those productivity apps or productivity? I think Evernote is one of those things that you use a lot of, but it also connects you. You've got to go to the technology. So do you think technology has made it better or worse when it comes to the area of productivity from what you've seen?
I think it's done both, and it really depends on the person and how they use it. It's a great tool for procrastination if you're trying to avoid doing something that you need to be doing. And I fight it. You know, I wish I could remember where I saw an article recently about how apps like Facebook and some and the various social media channels are designed to addict you. And everybody knows about that hit of dopamine you get, the brain chemicals when you get an alert or when you see somebody's liked your post or something. And it really is addictive. You have to be very intentional about it if you want to be able to be productive in the sense of getting the stuff done that really matters to you. But, you know, on that side of it, all of these things can be such great tools for helping you get things done more efficiently, more quickly, and to connect with other people to help you accomplish the things you want to do. So,
yeah,
it's totally up to the user.
Yeah, I can wake up in the morning and I'll jump on if I get up at 6. Usually my morning routine doesn't start till about 6:45. And so I'll sit, lay on the couch and scroll through all social media. You know, so start on Facebook, roll through it, go to Twitter, roll through it, check some other things. And all of a sudden, I mean, 45 minutes is gone like that.
Yeah.
And then I think, God, what did I do? There's so many more productive things I could have done between 6 and 6:45 if I just had my act together. Mike, do you, Do you have a routine like that, or do you you catch yourself kind of blowing through that time when you could have been doing something else?
Oh, for sure. It's when I wake up and I go and start the coffee maker. But as I'm standing at the counter, I do the same thing. I get out my phone and I'm just kind of mindlessly putting the coffee in the coffee maker. And that coffee will be brewed and sitting there for 20 minutes before I look up from that phone sometimes, because you just get engrossed in it, especially, you know, social media stuff, especially for the Upshot thing starting up, and you just start to really get engrossed in replying to things. And before you know it, it's, you know, like you just said, 45 minutes, it's happened before where it's way too much time looking at it.
Laura, as a podcaster, do you find yourself, because it's Mike and I, both podcasters, Mike had his own show before he joined me, and then now it's just doing this show with me. With your podcast, do you find yourself getting pulled into some of those social media, you know, the Twitter and the Facebook and those outlets, Instagram? Do you find yourself getting pulled in and kind of all under the, you know, all under the idea of promoting, but then pretty soon you get lost in it? Do you find that to be a temptation?
It very much is, because a lot of the work that I need to do is very thought intensive. It's hard. You know, I have to think deeply, or I have to be drafting something that's hard for my day job or any other thing. So it's very tempting for me to say, well, you know, I need to connect with my community. So I need to get in there and see what's happening in the Productive Woman Community Facebook group. I have a private group for listeners. And it's very easy while I'm there then to see, oh, there's, you know, this over there, and I better check the other thing. And you can blow half a day easily doing that. So I have to be very intentional about when I go in there and how much time I spend there.
Yeah, you can really just crush it. And I think a lot of us do. And it's entertainment. You know what? I watch a lot less TV today than I used to. I'm very targeted in my television. I might have, in days of past, I might have blown 3 hours channel surfing, to be honest with you. I do that, Mike. I do that in a hotel room. I know. I don't know. You're, Mike, when you travel, you're pretty targeted in what you watch, because you plug in your computer or you take the Fire Stick with you.
Yeah, I take the Fire Stick. So that's, I mean, it's all what I would normally watch at home, but I rarely turn on the TV anymore, except for live sports, just like you. But I used to do that a lot. That used to be my pastime. And now my pastime is YouTube, social media, those sort of things.
So kind of 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other. Yeah. Laura, in your podcast, first of all, why did you start your podcast? Let's get that established, and then I'll ask you some things about productivity. But why did you start your podcast?
Well, I learned about podcasts at a time when I was kind of looking for something to do that wasn't related to my law practice. You know, as Mike knows, law practice can take up every waking moment and half of your sleeping moments if you let it. And so I was looking for something different to do. And I discovered podcasts through because a blogger that I followed said he was launching a podcast, and I was like, what's that? So I started listening, and the more I listened to him, and I learned of some others, and kind of learned about that there's a way to learn how to podcast. And I thought that I could maybe do this. What would I talk about? Well, I've been a productivity geek since I was a kid. It's sad to say, but it's true. And so kind of one thing led to another, and I decided to do it. I took Cliff Ravenscraft's Podcasting A to Z course, and there's a story about why it then took me 6 months more before I actually launched, but I eventually did in July of, I think it was 2014.
Yeah. So, what have you learned about yourself? And, you know, as being a productivity guru, there's a lot of pressure there in a sense to every week provide these productivity hacks or these, you know, technology productivity hacks. But what have you discovered about yourself through this, you know, process of doing 136 podcasts that you're up to now?
Oh my goodness. A number of things. I really, my thinking about what it means to be productive has certainly evolved over the course of, you know, all those weeks of needing to come up with more content to talk about in that space and researching and thinking about it more. So that has changed. And my motivation for doing it has changed from, well, this will be, you know, just something to do. Nobody knows me, so nobody will listen. Maybe my mom, but to, you know, but to having been surprised to see a really international community grow up around the podcast, and realizing how much I like speaking to those people. It's mostly women, but not only. But I hear, get the emails from my listeners sharing their stories and their struggles. And it's just very rewarding to me to get to do this. I enjoy just talking, because as Mike said in the pre-show, lawyers do like to talk. We can't help it.
No, we can't. It's natural.
No, it's probably genetic or something. It's what drew us to the profession to begin with.
Right.
But I also really like serving that community of people who are listening to the show and finding new ways to help them, as we talk about on the show, make a life that matters. Because to me, that's what being productive is all about.
Yeah, I think being able to focus on those things that matter, right? Having enough productivity. Mike is a new dad, and so there's lots of things that he... Mike, I'm sure just now that Emmett is home and you're a dad, I'm sure some things have changed in your world as well as around the, some of the productivity stuff you're doing. Mike, have you made any changes? I mean, have there been anything where you're like, oh my gosh, this has to change because now I have Emmett here. Has anything changed for you?
Yeah, things get pushed either to late at night or early in the morning, or I'm much more productive now in my lunch hour. If I have personal things that I need to do, my lunch hour at work is kind of now more productive, not just not doing anything. So you find how to, I mean, the productivity thing is perfect because it's how to maximize each hour of the day. You have to, because when you come home, it's baby time, right? You can't go into your office anymore and hide away because it's you with Emmett and Hannah. So yeah, it's maximizing and then obviously utilizing the early hours and the late hours.
Yeah. Have you put any tech in front of that at all? As far as, has your tech habits changed now that Emmett's home? Has that changed anything for you?
Yeah, I've become much more efficient with it. So I found that I've really found ways to utilize the phone. So I have literally, there were apps that I could do it on my phone, but I like the experience on my computer better. No, I forced myself to get used to using the phone. So then it's, if I need that quick fix to check something or do something, it's only on the phone. Don't have to go up to, down to the office and look on the computer or anything like that. So I'm really trying to maximize the use of my phone. And I think, I mean, I try and run everything off of my phone. I mean, with the exception of my work, but like everything outside of work is all done via the phone.
Yeah. So. Laura, in your work with your audience, and I'm sure you have a pretty good idea what your demographic is. And I'm glad there's a couple guys listening as well. This show is the exact opposite. So it's all the guys, and there's a handful of ladies, Emily being one of them, who listen as well and who geek out with us from a tech gadget standpoint. But when you think about the threads that go through your audience of productivity, is there any tech, or do you see some tech things that pop up pretty regularly when you talk about, you know, being a more productive person? Are there things that pop up?
Well, there certainly are lots of questions about things, about how to use tech, or what is there an app that can help me do this, or I can't keep an email or my calendar. I can't keep track of appointments. I missed this appointment last week because I can't keep track of things. And so there are lots of questions about things like that. What can I use to help me get a handle on all this stuff that's coming at me and manage it better so I don't feel so out of control?
Yeah. A couple episodes ago, you had Amanda Berlin on. I think that's how she pronounces her last name. And she talked about using your powers for good. And we've talked about that on our show. If you were to, you know, you kind of deal with the other side of the world, you know, we're the guys who will fix your computer. Well, you know, we'll come in and show you how to do things. If you could give us some advice, like, how do we help the rest of the world? And you know, we're pretty good at that. But if you gave us some advice of, hey, how could we help your community? What kind of things would you tell us from a tech perspective? As technologists, how can we use our superpowers for good? What would you say are some easy ways do you think we could do that?
Well, I think, I don't know if you'll like to hear this or not. Don't talk down to them. they may not know as much as you do. And when I'm saying they, I mean, the women who listen to my show may not know as much about the technology as you do, although some of them probably know more than you do. But there is a sense sometimes that when women express something they're struggling with, that the men want to just come in and take over and fix it for them instead of listening to them and really personalizing whatever recommendations that they're coming up with. I mean, tech is, I don't think tech's ever the answer. It's not the first answer. It's a tool. But usually when there are issues that people are struggling with some kind of tech thing, there's something more to it than just the tech.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, you and I are both in situations where we've probably forced technology on our wives. You know, we've like, hey, I'm setting this up and you're going to use this. And we always kind of think the tool is going to be best. But we have this, Laura, we have this term called the wife acceptance factor, which is, you know, is she going to, you know, we're going to bring it home. Is she going to approve of it? And I think sometimes that's just great advice in that, you know, hey, it's solving a problem, but is it solving it at a cost that's higher than the problem it's solving?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I don't think it's as bad now. Mike, I think we've gotten better at this. I think the technology's gotten better to where those solutions are low cost to the end user or low cost to our spouses than before. Don't you think? I mean, some of those things that are out there, do you get as many questions about technology from Hannah now as you did maybe 3 years ago?
Well, no, but I mean, Hannah always says, she's like, you know, she always has the, man, aren't you proud of me? Like, look what you taught me for 10 years ago or whatever, 8 years ago has really turned into me being able to just, now she's teaching me stuff. So I think, at least in my situation, she asked all the questions up front. She wanted to know everything, but she asked in a way where she really wanted to know about it. She didn't just want me to do it for her. She wanted to know how to do it herself. And then, I mean, she is just now, but you're right, a lot less questions. And so I think it's a combination of the technology side, becoming more affordable, coming down, user experience being a lot better. And then also, you know, because those poor women, our poor wives, Jim, like they had to put up with us for so long. They thought, okay, I'm just going to start learning this myself instead of going to them for it. So,
yeah. Laura, do you find even in the tech that you're using, is it getting easier for you? Is it making more sense? Are our apps getting better? And so it's a little more intuitive. Do you find that? Or is it still just as complicated as it's ever been?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I'm sort of a tech geek anyway. So, you know, in our household, when it comes to things like mobile or smartphones and things like and apps and stuff, I'm the one going to my husband saying, you should use this. You should use this. And he gets my hand-me-down iPhones every time the new one comes out and he resists it. He would be happy just using an old flip phone if I would let him get away with it. I think it's getting more accessible. I mean, the fact that, you know, my 3-year-old granddaughter can open up an iPad and do things on it tells me that it's getting the hardware, at least, is getting more accessible to people who don't have the tech background that like you guys do.
Yeah. Well, I think it's women in the industry too, right? We're just seeing a lot more women in the industry. And I don't know what the cause of that is, but it's seen as now a very acceptable and actually encouraged thing for women to be interested in tech. Whereas I think that's been a shift over the last 10 years. Tech still is, but it was even more so back in the day, dominated by males. And for some reason it shifted. And I see a lot more women who are just like you explained, that they are the tech guru in the home and their husband's like, oh yeah, sure. You know, it's the same way with my wife's parents. Her dad would love to just use a flip phone and her mom is all in on tech. Loves it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. There are more women involved. And I know there's been a concerted effort in a lot of areas to make it more appealing to women. I know people like, you know, Allison Sheridan, and I'm trying to think of the name of the woman that does the kind of the school for girls, that tech school thing. I mean, there are lots of efforts being made to draw women into tech, into science. My husband's an engineer, and you know, that's mostly dominated by men, but more and more women are going into that field. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm a part of that movement here in Omaha, getting more women involved in tech careers. In the city of Omaha, we're short 2,000 software development jobs every single year that we fill with, you know, imports. We bring them in from India or China to do the workforce. And that's great. There's some great people that we bring in that way. But if we just train an equal number of women that we did men, and it's not a matter of opportunity. We've got to catch them earlier in the process. We need to get them more involved in junior high in some of those things. What's really cool is now I've been working in that for 10 years. So I've been part of that process to try and help fix this for 10 years. And we're starting to see some gains, which is really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's used to be 7% was the national average of women in STEM careers. And that number has creeped up, I think, to 10%. And so we're starting to see some changes happen. It's a long play, right, to get that done. Do you find with your listeners, do they gravitate towards, I mean, I looked through your playlist, and it's not like you're hammering tech conversations every single week, but do you find that your listeners are gravitating more and more towards tech solutions, and that's just becoming an easier sell, or is it still kind of, you know, status quo from that standpoint?
I think it depends. There's the standard lawyer answer for every question.
Yeah, of course.
It depends. You ask me what I want for dinner, and the same answer. Well, it depends. But interestingly, while there are lots of women who are interested in apps and different things like that, I actually did a survey or put a poll into the Facebook group about what kinds of topics do you want me to talk about? Because when I launched The Productive Woman, I thought I was going to be talking about apps and tools and that sort of thing. But overwhelmingly, the answers were mindset things, you know, how to get over procrastinating or just different kinds of things. So I do more topics like that. Still, there are lots of questions about apps and recommendations that different women in the community will offer of apps and tools and things that work for them. On the other side of it, though, there's a real almost turning away from the tech and going into the whole bullet journaling thing, which is totally analog. You know,
can you talk a little bit? I've heard this bullet journaling before. I have no idea what that is. Can you give me a quick 1 minute version of what bullet journaling is?
Sure. It's a system of keeping track of your stuff, I guess, developed by a guy named Ryder Carroll. He actually has the copyright on the term bullet journal. But it's just using a notebook and a pen to keep track of your to-dos and your appointments and all that kind of stuff. It's very old school, but it can go anywhere from very minimalist, you know, just black pen in a notebook, just a bullet list of to-dos, to very artistically designed and colorful, you know, with drawings and stuff in it. But it's just a very adaptable, a very flexible system of managing your to-dos and all that kind of stuff with paper and pen.
Yeah. Is it just a renamed Franklin Covey planner system type deal?
It is, except it starts with a blank notebook. Okay. There's so, like the Franklin Covey, those of us who are kind of time management geeks have gone through all those systems, whether it's Franklin Covey or any of the others. And those are pre-designed pages that you fill in the blanks. A bullet journal starts with a blank page and you make it whatever you want it to be.
Okay. So start blank. Fill it in and structure, kind of let the day structure the planner, as opposed to having a planner page and let the planner page structure how your day is going to look. That makes sense. I thought it was funny. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, Franklin Covey went all the way to where you could plan online and then print out the sheets and put them in. You know, so that was their tech, right? As you went on, you could do everything online. And then for some of us still, and I just think it's kind of the way we learn, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, kids just gravitate towards an iPad now and they just know how to do it. I mean, I've watched a 2-year-old get on a phone and know how to navigate to the to the apps that have the right, you know, they get the Pavlovian effect where they know where to go to get the rewards, right? And I think we're actually wiring their brains a little bit different with the way they learn and how they're going to learn from touch, good or bad. I just think they're learning earlier those kinds of things, like where we taught them the alphabet before and how to read and some of those things. And they're still doing that. But the touchscreen is an easier, you know, way to go. Mike, do you think, I mean, at what point are you going to put a device in Emmett's hand and give this thing a run?
I mean, if I haven't already, no. Hannah came out the other Saturday morning, and it was the very first time where I just had the iPad that I put up Baby Einstein on YouTube. It scared me. I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore, because he was just locked in. I mean, he could have sat there for hours and watched it. So, but no, when is he going to put it in his hands for actual use? I think pretty early. Maybe not an iPad, but one adapted for kids. Yeah, I think it's such a natural way, like you said, to learn, and it just makes sense to them.
Yeah.
Why not?
They pick up on it very fast, and the rewards are even faster. And so that system, they just kind of learn. I can't. It was funny. So Charlie, our little, she comes around. She's dating. Her mom is dating my oldest. So Charlie comes around, and she picks up a phone, and she understands swipe. And so she just starts swiping like crazy, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, well, we've got that part figured out. So it's pretty interesting. Laura, in our world, you and me, we Mike's a youngin, so we don't include him in this kind of, but you and me, we learned to be productive by writing. And I think there's studies that show our brains remember better when we write it down versus when we type. Do you think that may flip over from a productivity standpoint as we have more and more of the millennials and then the group behind the millennials learning, you know, Mike, you're a millennial, but the group behind you, you're at the tail end.
I am at the tail end. Yeah.
Yeah. You're at the tail end of millennial. The junior high kids that are coming out now that's all they've known. I think their brains work a little bit different. I wonder if that'll flip and change. Do you think, Laura, from a productivity standpoint, what you know of it, do you think it'll be different when these students are adults trying to be productive versus what the tools that we have today? Or is it the same song, nothing new under the sun?
Well, you know, I suppose by the time the current crop of junior high students are adults, that, you know, this stuff may all be implanted in their brains. I mean, who knows where the tech is going to go? The human brain, I guess, is designed to evolve to a certain extent, but it's not just us who learn better or remember things better if we write it down. The science right now is still that's true for most people, that you're gonna pay attention better, that connection from the hand to the brain somehow keep stuff in your head. And that may be part of what's driving some of this, you know, the trend on the bullet journaling and stuff. But I mean, I'm interested to watch what happens, because it seems one of the consequences of all this screen time and the toys, you know, whether it's an iPhone or whatever, is it's pretty well known that our attention span is shrinking. Our ability to focus and pay attention and think deeply is shrinking. And I frankly wonder what that's going to do to our society and whether the human brain will adapt to the tech to still be able to do the deep thinking that we need to be able to do to innovate or to create.
Yeah, it will be. I think we're on the cusp of, you know, this is happening so fast. There isn't a lot of evolutionary time to kick in. Like, I mean, within a generation, we are changing. And of course, that's just, we don't adapt. It will be interesting. I was filling out a form today. We have a birthday thing that goes on at work, and they ask us a bunch of questions for our birthday. Mine's coming up. And I said that one of the questions was, do you wish you were born in another time? Like, you know, and I loved being a child of the 80s. I mean, I grew up in the Silicon Valley. So not only was I a child of the 80s, but I watched, my dad worked at IBM, and I watched Apple be born. right? I mean, I was just there. We not literally, of course, but we lots of stories in the San Jose Mercury News about everything going on, both with HP and with Apple and a lot of the companies that are in Silicon Valley there. So I would never want to change that. Growing up in the 80s was awesome, but I sometimes wish I was Mike's age again, you know, because Mike, you're going to get to see, I, you know, to be 20 years, I think that's probably the difference between you and me in some regards. You're going to get to see 20 more years of, I think, some really cool tech that is coming. Laura, who knows? You'd mentioned implants. We may still see some of those bionic is what we call them, but those implants where, yes, you know, right, memory and some of those kinds of things, we may still see some early versions of that. They're not here today. In today's world, when you think about productivity and we think about technology, what do you think's the number one, you know, and I'm asking you to kind of roll up the whole summation of your podcast into one tool, but when we think about a technology tool and you think about maybe your favorite, what do you think you're most productive with when it comes to technology?
Mm-hmm. Only have one piece of tech. If they took everything else away from me and I could only keep one, it would probably be my iPhone.
Yeah.
Because like Mike was saying, almost everything I need to do, I can do from there, which I'm old enough to remember a time before even mobile phones. Me, an iPhone is a miracle, you know. It really is. I'm carrying this computer around in my hand that I can, you know, do almost everything I need to do on. And my calendar is there. My communication channels are there. My to-do lists are there. My bank is there. My, you know, my podcast communities are there. So to me, it would be the one that would... I hope they don't take all the other stuff away from me because I like my other stuff too, but that would probably be the one that I couldn't live without.
You mentioned a little bit that you're a Mac person, so you have your iPhone, but you've got a bunch of other Mac products as well. Talk a little bit about, if we just roll through your gadget addiction from a Mac standpoint, what else do you use that whether you're podcasting or some of those other tech items?
Some of the other tools just in general that I use?
Yeah. So like, I mean, what do you podcast on? Do you use an Apple Watch? Are you, you know, what are some of the other gadgets that you have? There you go. Yeah, I saw that.
I own pretty much everything Apple sells. So I've got an iPhone 7. I've got an iPad Pro, the large one with an Apple Pencil, which I just love. I get so much work done on that. I have my Apple Watch. You know, they all work together. And then my iMac, for podcasting, my microphone, I'm married to a musician, so I've got a mixer and, you know, this is my cheap microphone. I've got a Shure SM7B that I use to podcast with because I raided my husband's gear closet when I set up my
setup. Well, good for you. Good for you.
Pay somebody now to do the editing, but I used to do it in, do it myself in GarageBand.
Oh, good. And I noticed you're on the Noodle Mix Network, right? Did I get that right? Noodle Mix. That's Daniel J. Lewis and his crew out there. Do you find that helpful to be a part of that network?
Well, it sure has been helpful to me just because I've got Daniel to back me up on the tech side of podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, so when something's not working or when I have a question, I can go to him.
He's super knowledgeable guy, and it's a good network. The shows out there are very well done. Everybody does a great job from that standpoint. Is there a go-to app that you have? I think you mentioned to me you used a lot of Evernote. Is that the one thing that that's kind of your go-to app as far as getting information stored and delivered and kept and notes taken?
Yeah, Evernote is where I store information. I use Dropbox a lot, but those are probably the two apps that I use the most.
Yeah, and it is for you. I bet as we think about it, you're probably better at those productivity tools than Mike and I combined, because you use them for productivity. Like, we know about them. We kind of know the tech that makes them work and how, but we never use them. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, why would you actually use something? I actually use OneNote at work. That's just kind of the one I've gravitated towards, but I don't geek into them. You probably, from a productivity standpoint, have got all the right nuts and bolts figured out inside the apps, how to make them most productive. Wouldn't you think?
Well, I hope so. I certainly have found ways to make it work for me. I mean, like in Evernote, I have a tagging system that I use. For instance, all my receipts and everything related to my business, the money goes in there tagged for the year. Like for 2016, everything I put in there was tagged 2016 taxes. So when it came time to pull up receipt, to do taxes, I just click on the 2016 taxes tag and every receipt for the year is right there. And so that's just one thing that I used it for that has made a huge difference for me.
Yeah, that's super smart. Us tech guys sometimes don't always nerd. I mean, we're good at the technology, but we don't nerd out on the productivity side. Mike, are you using any, you think from a productivity standpoint with the household, are you using any of those apps like Evernote, OneNote, some of those things?
I have a scanner app that I'll use and then save it to Dropbox. And I just have a folder on Dropbox for taxes that I'll drop things into. For the new Upshot business, using FreshBooks, it's a pretty good cloud accounting system where when you enter an expense, you just take a photo of the receipt or upload the receipt if it's a PDF. So that has made things super easy. Their tagline, I think, is like, say, literally save a lot of time with your accounting. And man, they're not right. I mean, so far it's been a lot of expenses and not very much revenue since we just launched last week. But so I've gotten really good at entering expenses into the app. So using a few of those, but for our home stuff, it's Dropbox and the scanner app.
Yeah,
and I don't hardly use. I mean, I'm a Google Docs guy, so all the podcasting stuff is kept in Docs. Any show notes, if we ever had any, and I do from time to time. Rich Hay was really good at providing some show notes last week, but everything's in Google Docs here. But I find myself it's funny. It's never been easier to keep more to keep stuff, and yet I find myself keeping less. So as an example, I have some folders of scan. I used to scan every bill. So I'd scan it in, put it in its own folder, and it was there. Well, what I found out is, honestly, most companies, you can get any bill that you want online from them. They keep it for you. So I found, do I need to really keep my power bill? Do I need to keep the gas bill? Do I need to keep these receipts once I've, so there's really just a handful, taxes maybe, and maybe expensive items that I buy. I keep the receipts for warranty work. But that number of documents has gone down. Laura, also for me, and I don't know about for your audience, but I'm not creating. I remember when I used to create spreadsheets and documents and some of these things. And I have found that a lot of our online processes that we do now, that's all just kept on the web. So you don't create a Word doc and send it to somebody. It's embedded in something else, right? And so I found it's kind of a mean trick with technology, but I found the better the technology got, the less we needed it. We needed some of those things to kind of help us keep track of stuff. Calendaring is a perfect example of, I use Outlook Calendar at work. It syncs to my phone. I don't really even think about using calendars anymore for the most part. I operate my calendar from my phone or from work, and it just kind of happens now. We don't think about some of those processes anymore. And so I do find, though, I think this goes to the trend in what you're seeing in your podcast, is I do think we focused on the tech so long, we're figuring out, there's some life productivity things that, like exercise or like eating,
important.
Have you noticed among your audience this huge movement back to cooking? Like, people are rediscovering cooking. Does that show up in your podcast as people are talking about that stuff?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it shows up in the guise of people talking about needing to have time to cook, because the women who are listening to me have, a lot of them have jobs or they have kids or they have both. And they want to put a good meal on the table. They certainly care more about the quality of food. It seems we're starting to realize that all this junk food that we've been eating is not serving us. And so there's a lot of interest in how to and how to manage that process.
Yeah. Well, and there's even been some tech companies like Blue Apron that have come up around, you know, have risen and used technology, much like Uber, to meet that need, right? To be able to get a good, healthy, fresh meal to someone. And there's a lot of tech involved in necessarily getting that there. Laura, you froze up on me. Are you still there? Mike, are you still there, Mike?
I am still here, but yeah, okay. She's frozen for me too.
She froze up on me. We'll see if we can. Laura, are you back yet? Can you hear us? If you do, if you can't hear us, we may just need to have you hang up and call back. Sometimes that works as well. But Mike, while we're waiting for her,
yeah.
Have you been tempted like to take up some of these box food offerings?
Yeah, I started nodding along right as you started to talk about those, like the HelloFresh and the Blue Apron. All of those are very, very tempting. When I was most tempted was when Hannah was pregnant. And a lot of the foods for her cooking or even me cooking, like, it wasn't the food in the end that made her nauseous. It was the process of cooking it and the mixture of smells. So I was like, man, if I could just have something fresh that was delivered that wasn't going to make me 500 pounds by the time this baby's born, that'd be awesome. So yeah, we checked into it a lot. But just like you said, it's a very interesting business model. And they totally capitalized on the affordability once the technology got there. And then the lack of time, like we just talked about, a lot of people just being completely busy or not wanting to cook.
Yeah. Well, and wanting to have a fresh meal that was good for them.
It was the perfect crossroads, right? What was becoming popular? It's trendy now to have super healthy foods and be on diets and good kicks and eating healthy. Like, that is a trend. And it's also a trend for technology to have an app to do something. And, if you can be delivered right now and be here instantly, sure. Like, they hit the nail on the head. They're at the sweet spot.
Yeah. Drashness says, oh, goodness, yes. He goes, I've had gallbladder issues, and he's been in and out of the hospital the last couple weeks. The amount of fat in most food, especially prepackaged things, is obscene. That is totally true.
It's totally true.
When you start reading the labels, Emily had said, I cut out sugar and carbs months ago, and it astounds me just how many foods have sugars like tomato sauce and salad dressing. I've found, for me personally, eating after 8 o'clock. So I come home and I was watching pretty carefully what I was eating during the day. And then it was like, somehow it didn't matter anymore. It was after 8 p.m. and I could just eat a box of ice cream, get those boxes and just pull off the side and just start shoveling. You're like,
no better way to end the day.
That's 4,000 calories right there. Yeah. You've done really well during the day. And of course, that is, that's one of those things that, can crush you. And I've actually, I gained throughout the winter, and craft beer is another thing that's just crushing to me sometimes. Yeah. I think I'm drinking tonight, not your mom's apple pie. Have you had this?
Oh, I have not had that one.
Dude, this is good. It's crack. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they put crack in here instead of sugar.
Well, I got to get myself some crack then.
Dude, it's super good. But I can't imagine. I'm trying not to read the label here. It literally is like drinking an apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
I am not going to lie.
Well, it's a dessert. I mean, did you see all the hullabaloo about the whole new unicorn drink from Starbucks?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. It like blew up. So Starbucks a few weeks ago announced that, hey, in a few weeks, we're going to release this drink. And it's their unicorn frappuccino. Yeah. And it looks... I mean, I can't even describe how it looks. It's like teal and blue and purple. Yeah. And this thing is a frappuccino that's all these colorful things. It just came out today. And it is all over the news because everyone went and grabbed these things. But it is the equivalent of, I think, like 4 king-size Snickers in sugar content.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, in one tiny drink. And it's just... how much sugar they can pack into this thing. Someone actually took a bag of sugar and scooped out how much was in it. I'm like, how does that even fit into the drink? So
it's gotten obscene, just the amount of sugar that we enjoy. And we love it. We eat these things and I was like, oh, this is so good, but we've got, I finally stemmed the tide over the winter. I was gaining pretty significantly, you know how it goes month
over month. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I was right there. I'm with you.
30, like 30 pounds overweight. And people are like, hey, you know, when your friends start saying, are you still working out? You know, you're like, oh, is it that obvious?
I say, no, I identify as 140 pounds. Don't worry. So
one time I went in the DMV to get my license and I think I had a weight on there that wasn't accurate. And she laughed at me when I said 215 or something. And she out loud laughed.
You're like, hey, not nice. Okay. I know it's a little high.
Yikes. But I have been, you know, so in this current workout mode, which we were talking about, hopefully we get Laura back here. Well, Laura, if you're watching it all, you can come back, jump back in. Well, we can wrap it with you if you can do that. If you've had an internet issue, and then you can't hear this anyways. But that's always one of those things. Hey, if you can't hear us on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Is she out there or still out there in chat? It looks like she dropped. So hopefully, if anybody sees her, jump back in the chat room, let her know to come back in and I will watch my email. Let's see. Oh, there she is. Hold on. Let's see what she... no. Okay. Well, we'll have to figure out what happened to Laura. But I've been using like my Fitness Pal and the Microsoft Great. Health app with that to at least track the food. So, you know, for me, it was, okay, stop eating after 8, only water. So, and that's really good for you, by the way. Only water after 8. And then I've been trying to watch the calories each meal and not counting every single one, but trying to get fresher food right. in each meal and try and get my proteins up in the morning and in the evening. So, and then get all my veggies in at lunch because I have a great salad. We have this amazing ability at Gallup to get just a great lunch. And so I jam every serving, every vegetable serving I can get in. I try and jam in at lunch.
Right.
Just so I get it, you know, so I make sure I'm getting my health, you know, I'm getting at least at lunch, I'm getting a good healthy meal. And my workouts are back and I've been, you know, I had, you know what, as we were talking about personal productivity here, Mike, I went back to a paper workout. I just had my trainer print it out because we were doing stuff on my phone and all kinds of technology. Again, back to that writing, you know, having it on a piece of paper,
yep,
checking it off was totally. Terribly, terribly satisfying, you know,
and totally agree.
It's just one of those crazy things that have you guys from a baby standpoint, has it changed your family much? The dynamic one usually doesn't. It's the second one that kind of kills you.
And one doesn't until they get older to the age where, like, you know, like, he doesn't have activities, right? It's not like our schedule all changed because Tuesday night's soccer practice and Wednesday night is band practice. I don't know. Like, we don't have those type of changes to our schedule yet. So it will. But no, as of now, it hasn't changed it too much, like large amount schedule. Because Hannah and I, you know, we naturally spend a lot of time together anyway. That's just the way we were even before he came. And so we're always, you know, even if it's just watching TV together, you know, or sitting on the couch or, you know, doing something, we're at least together. So it hasn't changed much because now Emmett's just there and we're focused on him. So it's a lot of fun. But no, not too many big changes.
Good. Yeah. Well, it can be. For some people, it can be. Others, like I said, number one usually isn't the big change. It's
until they get to probably like 5 or something like that, where they have their own schedule or something. I don't know.
You put them in soccer and you.
Exactly.
But even that is pretty manageable with just one. You know, that second one is just brutal. And for a lot of people, that's really where life changes. Cause it's like Jim McGaffigan says, you know, it's having 3 kids is like in a pool drowning with holding 2. And then somebody throws a 3rd kid in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're like, yikes.
Yep.
But it is, I love this kind of conversation about, as we think about this generational thinking of technology and what is it going to mean? Maybe even to your kids. Where will we be from that when you're a grandfather and Emmett's having kids? What's it going to be like for them? Because that's a significant amount of time. I mean, we're still 20 years, 20, 25 years away from that.
Right.
So I often wonder, you know, just like, what's it going to be like? Oh, good. Laura's coming back in. Good. Let's see if we can get her back in here. Hey, we got you back. Can you hear us?
Can't. Sorry about that. Our internet just went.
Yeah, you've been having, it's been struggling a little bit first. The audio has been fine. The video hasn't been great. And I thought, oh, I hope we can get to the very end before it goes. And so I appreciate you jumping back in. Can you still hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I just turned off my video.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's fine. Well, hey, let's do this. We've fully used the hour that we asked you to be here. I want to let you go. I want to thank you for coming. But I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what you're doing. So talk again, give for folks if they wanted to connect with you and connect with your podcast, what kind of things do they do? Where would they go to do that?
Sure. I mean, you can find the podcast on the web at theproductivewoman.com. That's where the best way to find me. There's a connect with or a, you know, contact page there, links for all the show notes and everything. I'm on Twitter as Laura McMom, and I love hearing from people. So
good. Well, thanks, Laura. Thank you for jumping in here and being a part of this. We won't tempt the internet too much on you here as far as trying to keep this going. But thanks for jumping in. I hope we weren't exactly sure how we were going to do this tonight. You know, it was a little as we were talking back and forth. How did we do? Did we do okay to have you on?
Uh-oh.
I don't, maybe. Laura, can you hear us?
In my opinion, yeah, I thought you guys were great. It was an honor to be here.
No, it's great to have you on, and the internet's not being our friend, so we'll let you go. Mike and I'll finish up with a little housekeeping here. But thanks for being willing and give us an hour tonight and talking about, you know, personal productivity and the stuff that you do. And great job podcasting for 136 episodes. That takes a lot. So thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And we can let you go. Thanks for coming in here.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
You bet, Laura. Take care. All right. So that's fun.
Yeah, really cool. A lot of insights into that sort of world that I think, like you said, some of us techies, we know about the stuff, but we don't utilize it sometimes to its fullest, right? Like I've had Evernote before, and I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. And, we build the car, but we don't drive it.
Right, you know, exactly. And there, you know, I've wanted to learn more about Evernote, actually. It's been one of those that I've known a few people now that just swear by it.
Yeah.
And I really need to give it a chance and like learn it and not just add the app and then not use it.
Well, and I actually think I'm a bigger, and I know I'm a Microsoft MVP, so I'm supposed to say this, but I'm a bigger OneNote fan than I am Evernote.
Right.
And we just at work, for the podcast that we do at Gallup, we needed to start getting some guest information in a single place where everybody could get to it. And we've enabled SharePoint services. And so I can now take a OneNote service, put it in basically in my OneDrive at work and share it out with everybody. And they come in, we have one document updated in real time, like Google Docs, and it works great. So that's been one of those things, you know, I'm slowly making the switch to OneNote, which for podcasting is super necessary. I mean, that is one of those areas where I do create a lot of material,
right?
For podcasting that I think Laura, if you go out and look at her site again, theproductivewoman.com, if you go out and look at it, she's got a lot of material. She's got guests coming in. They've got a lot of show notes material. And so as a podcaster, that's where you do create, a lot of docs.
The G Suite in general, I've used them for, you know, when I had the podcast, it was the WeagerTech.com, the Upshot Omaha, all of those. I end up going to G Suite for the email and for all that sort of stuff. And I just love it. I mean, everything just, and especially, you know, as you start to add team members in and calendars, everything, the G Suite, and it's so affordable, $5 a month for user is great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. No, a lot of great productivity hacks. In fact, if you got a productivity hack and you want to share it with us, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, something that you're using that you're finding is very productive for you. Send it to me an email. We'll read it on the show. Mike and I, looks like next week we're going to have a fairly open show. We're going to bring some open topics. So if you want to send me those emails this week and let me know what your productivity hack is, we'll read it right here on the air. Well, I think from a live show standpoint, Mike, we did it. Anything else that you want to throw in before we wrap up the live?
No.
Live piece here. No, kind of fun. Laura, thanks again. If you listen to this again, and Emily, thank you for introducing us to Laura. By the way, that's how you do it. If you want to have your favorite tech person. They don't even have to be really techie, so to speak. It was a really good conversation tonight to have Laura on here. Just kind of talking about productivity and some, I can turn any conversation and make it work for an hour. So, but if you've got somebody, a podcaster, a tech person, a gadget geek or whatever, and you'd like to help us get them booked, just let me know. Again, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We'd love to entertain that and get those folks on. We had Laura tonight. Next week is open, and then I'm working on Edward Weininger to get him back on to talk about his the Alpha Bitcoin stuff, and they're doing a lot of work around the ledger, and I just had him on for InfoTech, and so if we don't get him on, I may play that video into the podcast. But it's always good to have Edward on. Valerie from Liberty is back. We had to reschedule her to get that done. And then in a couple weeks, we're working on getting Erin Lawrence back. So remember Erin, she's a blogger out of Canada. Yes. Girl Geek. We did the Husqvarna, mower. Yeah. The lawnmower. You tempted at all, Mike, to get a robot lawnmower with your,
after thing? This spring? Heck yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if that thing was just out cutting your lawn every day?
So I'm on a corner, but I'm not only on a corner, I'm on a U. So our circle butts up to a street, so it's my house, and then I have front, side, back, all streets. So I have so much lawn and edging, and I would love to have a automatic mower.
Yeah, just every day it would go out and cut while you're at work, and then
yes. But my security camera it catches so many kids that run through our yard that I would easily take off a kid's foot on accident or something. Like it's just
those are totally safe. Yeah, those are pretty safe though.
Are they?
Oh yeah, yeah. They can't. No, they can't. They wouldn't. If they bump in, they stop.
Okay.
And the blades are really small.
I was wondering how all that worked.
Yeah. No, it's pretty
liability wise. It's just like.
As a lawyer, you would know they're pretty darn safe. So we're tracking down Erin. She's coming back on to talk about some more gadgets. So that's pretty cool. Remind everyone that if you want to financially support the show, we've got a Patreon link available out there for you at theaverageguy.tv. $1 and $5 plans. I want to thank everyone who does currently do that. And maybe next week we'll read those list of names. But appreciate you guys for what you do. And it helps us do things like use Auphonic to publish the show. And now it's evened out on every show. It was never been that bad. I had that one show that was bad. It's never been that bad. But it's been kind of nice to guarantee it's got good levels all the way across when we run it through Auphonic. So we appreciate you guys for helping me pay for that and getting better quality in what we're doing. And I mentioned, if you got any comments, feedback, whatever, if you want to track down a guest for us, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Christian is kicking it right now. He just did some upgrades to the WordPress infrastructure. Holy cow, it's fast. I mean, it's amazing what we get at Maple Grove Partners. So head out there. If you're interested, plans start as inexpensive as $10 a plan, maplegrovepartners.com. Don't forget LastPass sponsors the mobile app. And tonight, hopefully that word was working. It still looks like it's working to me. If you were listening live on the mobile app, thanks for doing that. We thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that mobile app. And of course that Spreaker makes that available to us, and our friends at Spreaker do some great work from that standpoint. And I almost should say they sponsor the show, because I got in on that Spreaker deal when it was free with iHeartRadio, and they've never charged me a dime. So I might as well say,
yeah,
Spreaker sponsors the podcast for sure. They've been a great host from that perspective. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, at theaverageguy.tv/live. We'll be back next Thursday, Mike and I, at a minimum, maybe a guest, but we'll be back next Thursday. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.